Hey there, lovelies. Amy here. Carly and I are on a brief vacation, so instead of a new episode, we're going to share with you a Modern Horrors After Hours episode, which was released in February for our Patreon subscribers. On this After Hours episode, Carly and I are joined by Modern Horrors contributors Megan Navarro and Leslie Moore to talk about women in horror. I hope you enjoy this. Carly and I will be back next week with an all-new Final Girls episode where we will be discussing some doll horror with Robert the Doll, now streaming on Amazon Prime, looks amazing, and The Boy, available to stream on Netflix. So we'll see you all then. Goodbye, lovelies!
You're listening to the Modern Horrors Podcast Network.
Hello, horror fans, and welcome to the second episode of Modern Horrors After Hours. My name is Amy, and I am the co-host of Final Girls Horrorcast, and I'm joined, as always, by my lovely co-host, Carly.
Hello!
And we are also joined today by some of the other women creators of Modern Horrors, Leslie and Megan.
Hello!
Hello!
So you guys are both writers on the site.
Correct.
Yes. Awesome. Badass women writers on the Modern Horrors website. Really, Woo. This is just the most talented people of Modern Horrors today. So
basically.
True story.
So we thought since it's Women in Horror Month, we would do a little roundtable episode and kind of discuss just different aspects of how women are portrayed in horror movies, some of our favorite writers. We'll talk about some subgenres a little bit, and then also give you some of our recommendations for Women in Horror Month, some films that we thought you might enjoy. So let's kick it off, though, by introducing ourselves. I think a lot of the people listening might know me and Carly, but just in case you don't, we have a podcast on the Modern Horrors Podcast Network called Final Girls Horrorcast, where we talk about films that are streaming and just are goofy and don't really do a lot of research. These other ladies joining us probably know a lot more than us and are way more research, so that'll be
very
fun.
Very accurate.
So let's start with you, Leslie. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell everyone what you do and what you like?
Okay. I'm Leslie Hatton, and I have been writing about horror since about, maybe 2012. I started doing blog posts for the Toronto International Film Festival Vanguard program, which sadly does not exist anymore. And then I moved on to doing blog posts for the Midnight Madness program, also at TIFF. And neither of those blogs exist anymore, which is really sad, although Midnight Madness as a film program is still going. And then that kind of snowballed into writing for Rue Morgue, writing for Modern Horrors, writing for Diabolik magazine. I also had my own website for about 10 years where I managed other writers. I wrote about horror, I wrote about music, other kinds of genres, and some people wrote about comic books. It was pretty wide-ranging pop culture. And most recently, I was in an anthology from the microprint company called Spectacular Optical. It was about Christmas horror. It's called Yuletide Terror. And I wrote about A Christmas Story and all of the adaptations. Well, not all, because there's thousands of adaptations. But I wrote about a good bit, probably the most prominent. And right now I am working on reviewing the show The Alienist for one of the sites I write for. And that's pretty good in terms of, horror themes. It's more like thriller, but there's some pretty gruesome elements. So I think it counts. I'm going to say it counts.
Sure.
It totally counts.
Totally.
But that's it for me.
Wow. That's a lot, though. You obviously have a big background there.
Thanks.
What do you got, Megan? Why don't you tell everyone what's up with you?
Hi. I don't even know how to follow Leslie with her extensive career there. So thanks for putting me last.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
She can fix it in post.
But she can fix
exactly.
it
Exactly. We'll just swap it.
No one's going to be able to follow that. It's cool, though. We're still interested.
I'm basically just, like, I guess everybody here, a lifelong horror fan since childhood. Literally would go to the video store with my dad and hang out in the aisle with all the monsters and stuff, and eventually discovered I could write about it. So I've also been writing about it for years now, and primarily for Modern Horrors and Birth Movies Death and Bloody Disgusting. So anywhere that allows me to write about horror, I will.
It's awesome. Living the dream, really, ladies. Like, I wish that, because I used to do a lot of writing, and I never like could conquer that. I don't know. It just never happened for me. I don't know that I actually really tried very hard, but podcasting just seemed easier because then I could just talk.
We have a good podcast, Blake. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thanks. You're so sweet. Okay. So I'm really excited you guys are here because it's really just, I just think this is a really fun idea. I don't know that the people who read your articles every week or month or whenever get to actually hear your voices or get your personalities as much. So I'm sure it'll be fun for them as well. So let's start off easy. Something easy to talk to, or talk about rather, and talk about some of our favorite horror female characters. Carly, do you want to jump off on this one? Do you have any favorites that you want to start off with?
Immediately, probably what? Well, no, I don't want to start.
Did I totally put you on the spot?
No.
Come on, you can't think of one female horror character.
No, of course I can, but I can't remember her name, and so I needed to look it up real fast. But
It's totally fine. Okay, who wants to jump in? Go.
I could talk about this for days.
Sure.
So great. I will start easy. Meg Penny from The Blob, 1988, the Chuck Russell remake. I love Meg Penny and Shawnee Smith and what she does with that character. She's just one pissed off cheerleader who like kicks ass. So
totally. You don't even think of, I don't even really think about her. I love The Blob though.
Same.
It's great. It's great. And she's great. She has like one terrible bad first date, and then she turns it into like saving the town from this monstrous pink thing. So she's always been one of my favorites.
Good call.
That's awesome. I love that.
Good call. How about you, Leslie?
I have so many. I always tend to pick the same ones over and over. But I think I would really like to give some attention to Alice Lowe, who is in Prevenge as a murderous pregnant lady whose fetus told her to kill people. Because she's just, she's so good. And she wrote that movie. She directed it. She starred in it. She was pregnant the whole time. It's like really an accomplishment. But she's also really good in the movie Sightseers, which is Ben Wheatley directed it. It's not technically horror, although she does murder people. And she's also super funny in that and kind of scary at the same time. And she was also more recently in a movie called The Ghoul, which is a very low budget British kind of folk horror movie. And she plays the girlfriend, maybe isn't the girlfriend of the main character, because you're not actually sure if what you're seeing is real or just, you know, his imagination or his dreams. But she's just really fun to see in things because she does creepy, funny, and sort of serious, dramatic roles really well. So I think she's a pretty amazing woman in horror in general.
Very cool. Carly, are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. What you got?
I love Maddie from Hush.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, she like is the one that immediately like jumped into my head, because she's so smart and so like she thinks of things that like, you know, I wouldn't think of. And if my hand got smushed, like I probably would feel pretty defeated. Like there's so many things that I don't know. Like as a character, she's really interesting and. Yeah, she was immediately who came to my mind first.
Good pick.
Thank you.
Yeah, I need to go with the girl from A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night as my ultimate favorite because I just love her so much. It's like she's like the epitome of badassery. She skateboards, she's gorgeous.
She skateboards.
She's got
a good taste in music.
She has the best taste in music. I just want to be her and also be her girlfriend at the same time. Is that weird?
No.
Nah.
No. Oh, okay. I feel like that about Naomi Rapace, the actress. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
And then also, of course, I know it's like everyone picks her, but it's for a reason. Ripley is a fucking amazing, and she's just the best. I just love that that in Alien, Ripley was written as a man, and then just Sigourney Weaver just comes in and fucking kills it. I mean, it's just the best. I really love that also.
She's a hard ass.
I know. I know everyone says that, but it's because it's true.
There's a reason, though. There's definitely a reason.
That also happened in Green Room, right?
What?
Aaliyah Shawkat's character was written as a man.
I didn't.
And she came in and killed it.
I didn't know that.
I didn't. Yeah. I don't think I knew that either.
Yeah, we talked about it on the podcast, Carly.
Whoops. Of course we did.
But you sounded just as surprised then as you did now.
I felt it. It felt real.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Okay, well, that was good. I really liked all those choices, guys. Okay, let's jump in and talk about some directors and writers and producers that we love that are women. Because it seems like we're getting more and more all the time. I feel like, Megan and Leslie, you might be even better at this than Carly and I might, because just from talking on Slack and stuff, you guys are very knowledgeable about current female horror directors.
Jen Wexler. She is a producer for Glass Eye Picks, which is Larry Fessenden's company. She's basically killing it. All of what is Luke's favorite guy who hosts the core?
Oh, Mickey Keating.
Yes. Thank you. All of his movies were pretty much produced by Jen Wexler, like Darling, Psychopaths. That's all her. She did a movie recently that not enough people have seen. Most Beautiful Island, that's amazing. And she's got a Midnighter, so she's transitioning into directing The Ranger.
Oh, I'm excited about that one.
Which will premiere at South by Southwest next month. So she's
nice.
Yeah. So she's somebody to keep an eye out for that's kind of flown under the radar so far, but not for long.
Nice. How about you, Leslie?
There's a couple things. One is the new Sabrina the Teenage Witch that's coming out on TV. Axel Carolyn, who did this really cool ghost movie called Soulmate a few years ago, she is writing for that. And she is such a huge horror fan. Like, she has as much stuff in her place. It's like a tiny Bleak House, just like mini Del Toro apartment or whatever. Like, she's so, yeah, she's really smart. And she's got a lot of knowledge and talent. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that. She also had a segment in Tales of Halloween, too. It was the Grim Grinning Ghost.
The Grim Grinning Ghost.
Oh, yeah. I remember talking about that, actually, and being like that was one of the only ones I really liked.
I remember us saying, which one was that? I remember us saying that, like,
I think that's the one when the ghost follows her home.
Okay.
The other thing that I think is really cool in terms of behind the scenes, it's maybe not like the typical thing that you would think of, is the Miskatonic Institute, which is a lecture series that you can actually get class credit for. And it started by somebody named Kayla Janice, who actually is part of Spectacular Optical, where I've submitted some or had some chapters produced or printed in anthologies. And it's pretty cool because it's not the typical sort of, I guess, curriculum that you would normally associate with like film or media studies. And there was an article about it in the New York Times recently, and I really liked her quote that she said she was tired of people dismissing horror because they thought it was for complete morons, which I thought was really funny because, you know, that does happen a lot with non-horror people. The one that they just had, the lecture that just happened last week, is called Black Horror, the Revolutionary Act of Subverting the White Gaze, which sounds really good. And I would totally go to that. They have them in London. I know they have some in New York. It's just a really neat collective of people doing stuff where it's more like not just, oh, this movie was good, but horror is a part of culture, something that sort of seeps into other areas. And it's more, I guess, academic, but not necessarily like stuffy or boring. So I think that's a really cool thing. I wish there was more stuff like that.
Her book, House of Psychotic Woman, is amazing.
I haven't finished reading it yet. It's very, I think I was talking about it on the podcast fairly recently, actually. It's very dense, but like just to like pick it up and start reading is, I don't know, just every time I do it, I'm like, I need to just keep reading this, but I need to take a break because it's very intense.
It's heavy.
Literally, like, and figuratively. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also really love what Karen Kusama has been doing. I wasn't crazy about it, her segment in XX, but I appreciated it. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate her, and I really am excited to see what else she can come out with. Also really like Roxanne Benjamin and hope that she does more.
Yeah, that's who I was going to say.
I'm sorry, Carly. You can talk about her more. You? If you want.
I got nothing except for that. I really liked her XX and Southbound situations. Yes. And yeah. I think that she's got a really good eye.
Yeah, I really want more from her. Especially her segment in XX just made me like, oh, more, please, now.
It's like the only thing that I really liked about that movie.
It really, like, I disagree because I like that movie more than you, but
I know.
Do you guys like XX? How do you guys feel about XX?
I actually haven't seen it yet.
I'm kind of with you. I feel like her segment is my favorite. I mean, I like what Kusama did, and I don't know. I'm kind of mixed. Like, I like a lot of it, but then I don't. I guess I have mixed feelings about all of it, but I definitely like Benjamin's segment the best.
It was so good.
Beyond
what
everybody else.
I wanted XX to be more, and I was a little let down by it, I think, was the problem. Maybe I was just expecting too much, but yeah, Benjamin's was definitely the best one.
It felt very much like a side project for everybody. It didn't...
It was. I mean, when it initially was announced, there were different directors involved, you know, so maybe it was just kind of a slow coming together of who they got in the end.
I apologize for my background noise. If anyone can hear that, I have a garbage truck coming by at 5 p.m., which is lovely. Thank you.
They take their time on President's Day.
You know, what the fuck? Shout out to Mary Lambert, who was the first female horror director I ever really paid attention to with Pet Sematary, who was not afraid to direct some child death and some like crazy shit. So shout outs to her.
I feel like Mary Harron was mine.
Oh, yeah.
American Psycho.
She's got a movie coming up too. It's written by Guinevere Turner. It's based on this book called The Family, which is written by Ed Sanders around the time of the Charles Manson murders. So it was like after the murders, but before trial, and also a book about Leslie Van Houten, who's one of the family members, and it's called Charlie Says. And she just brought it to the Berlinale, whatever it's called, like to try to shop it around. And so it's the cast, as far as I know, is the guy who's playing Charles Manson is actually
Matt Smith,
yes, who is really can be very scary.
Yes.
So
Doctor Who, guys.
He was really creepy. He was really creepy in Lost River, that Ryan Gosling directed movie, which I love.
Totally.
He was.
Yes.
Yeah. It's same. True.
I love anything Ryan Gosling here.
So, yeah, that's exciting. Very excited about this Mary Harron thing. And I have.
That's really cool.
I have a weird fascination with Charles Manson, even though it's creepy, just because I feel like it's just weird.
Everybody, right? I mean, I kind of do too. So, like, is that a thing? Because I feel like it's a thing.
Yeah, I think that's just like breathing or something.
Super interesting.
Meg, you said you had a lot. Did you have anyone else you wanted to talk about?
Well, there's like the cornerstones that I feel like are easily overlooked, like Deborah Hill for Halloween. Like, she was John Carpenter's partner, so without her, you know, Halloween wouldn't be what it was. So I feel like everybody thinks of John Carpenter, but nobody
My
thinks about her
right
as a producer
now,
preach. Ida Lupino for sure. You know, she was one of the first, you know, to get in the boys club period, one of the first to direct film noir. She was one of the first female period to do a Twilight Zone episode after being in them. So some of these like cornerstone women that have always been there, but don't get like the love that they deserve.
Yes.
So this shout out. Love that. Ladies.
Thank you.
I'm like, just keep going. Keep going. Yeah, keep going. Share your knowledge.
Slumber Party Massacre trilogy. Yeah. All women. I mean, I feel like I can't think of another. I'm sure people, listeners will be like, there's plenty, Megan. But the first Slumber Party Massacre was like had multiple mm-hmm. final girls. Right. It wasn't just a single final girl. It was multiple. And then, you know, the series got a little wacky after that. But it's all female done. So, you know, there's that. While the Lost Boys were partying it up, Catherine yeah. Bigelow was like totally kicking ass with her vampires in Near Dark.
Amen. That movie is amazing. I love it.
Exactly. So, you know, women have always been kicking ass. It's just, you know, we kind of need to point it out sometimes.
Agreed. Let's move topics then. I mean, we're really going to go into it now. This was something we were talking about on Slack, and I really like wanted to put a stop to the conversation happening on Slack because I think it's so fucking interesting and something I don't really talk about much on my podcast or our podcast rather, because Carly and I both aren't fans of the rape revenge subgenre. And I don't know that many women are. It's a kind of a strange subgenre, right? Where I feel like it's, I don't know, it seems like it's always in male-directed movies. But you ladies were talking about some women who are upcoming with some, or who have come out recently with some rape revenge movies that are from the woman's point of view and written and directed by women.
Yes, exactly. I'll let Leslie talk about MFA, but I'm super...